finish by 12:30, if all goes well. We will have the National Tourism Sector Strategy presented by the department. After that, honorable members will deal with our in-house things which relate to the 2019 budget review and recommendations report. We'll then deal with this future automated project tracking system. Our minutes, and then we close the meeting. Do we have someone moving for adoption of the agenda? Member? Kumba Kumba. Deputy Freitas seconds. No objection. You are welcome, honorable members. I think we must take this opportunity to congratulate the Springboks for helping us in rebranding, repositioning, and renewing our country, South Africa. Many people were expecting flair and so on. Now, the games, it's not all games that are about flair. It's about winning, not how you win. So where we are now, we are in the semifinals. So in terms of people looking at countries in the world now from a sporting perspective and all the activities that goes with sporting, including the economy of sports, it means there are only four countries that are being looked at now globally. There are only four. It's us, Wales, England, and the Kiwis, New Zealand. Next week there will be only two. It will be us and someone else. I don't know who is that one. But that's for sure. We are going to be in the final. So from a marketing brand building perspective, not just sports, just from a brand consolidation marketing perspective, the entire globe will be looking at only two countries in the next 2 weeks. Only two. Right? Only two. So there's a big opportunity for mileage from a marketing, brand building, brand sustaining, brand growth perspective, because we will be in the finals. Right? So those who are talking about South Africa now, they are talking about it in the context of us already having passed Wales. I hope that complacency won't creep in. But from a brand building perspective, looking at mileage from marketing, television, all the newspapers in the world, the social media, those who are in the social media trending after Wales will be us and New Zealand, right? Will be. I think it will be better to beat New Zealand than England. I think we have a score to settle with New Zealand. Yeah,
old school.
We have a score to settle with them. So, SAT, I don't know what were their projections when the World Cup started, but they should also be saying, how do we maximize on that opportunity? We are going to be number one or two. So the reception in South Africa after the World Cup, it's a massive, when we welcome the team, it's a massive marketing, tourism activity. If I was in the rugby committee, I was going to be saying, how do we make sure that the team goes to all the provinces, and how the departments of tourism, sports, arts and culture must come together to do the build-ups in those provinces, you know, working with everybody. What are the other things that we can add there and so on. But unfortunately, one is not there. So as a committee, we'll send our own congratulatory messages and proposals to them on the performance of the sperm box. So I think we must congratulate them. Things are not going very well in the cricket. It's actually a disaster. It's fatal. It's a tragedy. We are not even competing. You know, you can be beaten, but in the Degumbi, at least compete in the Degumbi. We're not competing in the cricket, not at all. The disaster of what is happening in this game between us and India, it's a shame. But at least the rugby is helping us to have a good mood as a country. So those were the welcoming remarks and opening remarks. This month is the O.R. Tambo month, which also is not being used productively by all the spheres of government. All the spheres of government. I mean, the Oliver Tambo belongs to South Africa. Yes. It's limited to some lecture there, seminar there. There's no massive massive program. You know, if we're just to look at the countries that O.R. Tambo went through during his struggle for liberation singularly, and we say to these countries in October, this is how we want to celebrate Oliver Tambo. We want all these countries to celebrate them with us. And we will have build-ups in those countries. South Africa will be the culmination in October. Right? Will be the culmination in October. And all these other countries bring their people here in October. You can imagine, we'll be coming from the tourism month in September. And then in October, we do a cherry on top with O.R. Tambo month. But there's somebody who is not celebrated, and we are supposed to be celebrating that person actually more, even than Oliver Tambo, is Pixley Kaizakase, because he was also born in October. Yes, he was born in October. That's the person who started this organization called African National Congress. Actually, that's the person who conceptualized something called some organization when it was called South African Native National Congress, and went on not to become its first president. Was not even interested in becoming its first president. That's when Langalibalele Dube became. But he was born in October, having gone to Oxford University in the US, then went to London. Colombia, then Oxford. So, if we bring our heads together for next year, we have 2 months of September tourism month, then it's October, and then all these countries that OR went to, can then be mobilized to bring their people to South Africa, to bring tourists here to South Africa. And it's many countries, many countries. And as Honorable Gumbi always says, it's all about the package you develop and speak to the airlines and tell them by February that there's these packages that we have. Because if flying to South Africa, as Honorable Gumbi always emphasizes, if it's more expensive than than other countries will always will not be competitive. If we package those and people are able to come here in that October, it will be huge numbers for our country. And then we bring the world to South Africa in October, rather than limiting it to some seminar, some lecture. I'm not saying they are not important, but for how long we will just have some lecture of 99 people for seminar and so on. Now, our mindset, we have a tourism mindset, it's collective here. Our mindset is about tourism. So everything that is looked at is from a tourism perspective. That's why even the rugby is from a tourism perspective. And so this OR Tambo month, this month called OR Tambo month, and as far as I'm concerned, that's what we should be looking at. I know it's not in our plans for next year, but I'm sure we can find a way of speaking also to the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture about this thing, and we do it jointly. And then we can then achieve the 22 million. So we have to look at every variable that can contribute to the 22 million that we have control over. There are other variables in the economy that we don't have control over, and we don't know what may happen in the next 10 years. So this 22 million might either happen or it might not happen, because we don't control future variables, those that are not in our control. But those that we control, like what I'm talking about now, the culmination of October, that we control. And we can plan for it and execute it. But the rest of the other things, we don't. We don't know what's going to happen after Trump. That's next year. Or a tragedy might happen and Trump comes back. And we're not in his mind. We don't know what Trump is thinking, that if he does his second and last term, what extremes can he go to? He has shown signs of capability to go to extremes, right? But you can see he wants to declare some war. He's thirsty for war, yes. He's smelling blood. Now, from a tourism perspective, when we do risk analysis and we do different permutations, risk and scenario, we should be saying, because the U.S. is such a powerful force, what if Trump comes back and he goes to the extreme, right? What is happening in Hong Kong, in China? That thing is going to explode into a very serious problem internationally. That thing in Hong Kong, right? So from a planning perspective, we should be working with our risk and scenario people, looking at this particular thing. I'm sorry for wasting your time, honorable members. I'm a rivopreneur in my genes, right? I'm a rivopreneur, so everything I look at it from an entrepreneurial perspective. So you look at the world, what is happening, and so on. And you say, what is it that can be done? So there's trouble coming globally. There's some trouble coming our way globally. And it's all because of the powerful forces, the U.S. We don't have the right personality there. The president of China says he's going to now crush the protesters. It means they're going to use force. We don't know how the United Nations is going to respond to that and the Security Council. We spoke about Trump and his thirst for this and that, problems in Syria, Brexit is postponed now with some 25 days or so. We don't know post-Brexit what is going to happen in terms of geopolitics. And that says to you that we must rely on domestic tourism. Yes. So there are other variables that we don't have control over. So what we do as a country and package ourselves as a country, South Africa at the international level must become better. How people perceive us, how people look at us and so on, it must become better. We are over the elections now. There's other elections coming. The economy is not doing well. So we need to get some things right in the country that can then put us on a pedestal towards growth through tourism. Then if we do that, we are home and dry. It will be okay. The risk we face, of course, as a country, it's not all these things that are happening either in the political parties, in the ANC, in the DA, in the EFF in December. That's not the risk South Africa is. The biggest risk for South Africa is youth unemployment. The day these young people explode like a volcano and decide to ransack this country, I don't know what is going to happen. So if something urgent is not done about this youth unemployment, and it's huge, it's massive, that's the biggest risk we face. So that volcano is building up underneath. That volcanic eruption is coming. We can do something about it. We are moving too slow to manage what is happening underneath the earth there about this unemployment of young people. Where I'm sitting now, the biggest risk we face is that one. And with the type of young people you have now, that's the biggest risk. The day they are going to use the social media and embark on something, there are signs of it. When you look at Fist Must Fall, those matches that happened, and the numbers of young people is forever increasing. The graduates every year, we are happy with the numbers. So many have graduated, matriculants, we are pushing, we want the numbers up, right? But they are not being absorbed into the economy. So the numbers are going up and up and up and up. And there's bottling up. There's a volcanic eruption coming. That's why we must get the EPWP in tourism, right? And make it 100%. Right? And not 78 and 85. And so on. So if we do that... I delayed you a little bit in starting today. Okay. Sorry for disrupting your minds, honorable members. Sorry for disrupting your minds with some explosive stuff coming from me. The department is welcomed. Sorry for contaminating you. We are not getting into your matter here. And here is this man now talking about volcanic eruptions. And so, but they are coming. Unemployment. The day that thing happens, it's not going to look as to whether you are DA or you are ANC or you are what. It's going to hit us hard. So all the politicians must come together ourselves, honorable defrayers. Honorable Muteka is not here, AIC, all of us, TS, we must put our ideological differences aside, because unemployment knows no ideology, and face the problem, and say it's tourism, what contribution can we make to try and make sure that there's no volcanic eruption. The apologies we have are as follows. The first one is Honorable Chief Chair. She is not well. Honorable Shady Michelle Makubele. The second one is Honorable Peter. The third one is Honorable Sithole, Ubaba's Tall. The fourth one is Honorable Motiga. The fifth one is Honorable Krambok. I now got the same name, Krambok. And then we have Honorable April, who is in the other committee of small business. I hope one day we can just call it business. And then remove the small. And then Honorable De Freitas is going to leave around midday. Yeah, we'll be done by then. We'll be done, I can assure you. We'll be done by then, Honorable De Freitas. So you'll be part of the meeting until it ends. And the Demiani is arriving at what time?
No, it's small business.
Oh, it's a small business. Okay. The minister is doing a lot of work for us overseas. The minister is on that important. She's on a task to make sure that some of the things we've been discussing here are done. So the minister is on a global marketing tour to try and push the economy. The deputy minister is also there. Or to Tanzania. Okay. Oh, by the way. Yeah. Yeah. So those are the apologies we have. But we are here. Those who are here are here, and we must move forward and execute the task given to us. Hausak, we are now going to give to you, with your team, to do the presentation in terms of the National Development Plan. So this will not be long term. This will be medium term. 2016 to 2026, right? National Tourism Sector Strategy. So take us there. Take us to 2026. Put us there, ma'am. Over to you.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning. For the record, I would like to introduce myself and have the rest of the team introduce themselves before we start. I'm Lula Maduma. I'm the DDG responsible for corporate management. I'm here wearing a different hat as the acting DG. I'd like to apologize for the DG, Mr. Victor Tarache, who couldn't be here with us. He is with the minister. Also, DDG Malan would have led this delegation. She's in Tanzania, and the DM will be joining her. Chair, let me hand over to my team, and then I'll come back with just some opening remarks, and then Sa will take us through.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Sa, and the surname is Ngidi, responsible for policy planning and strategy, Chief Director at the Department, but also acting DDG today. Thank you. Thank you.
Bongo Musa. Oh, so it's that. Okay.
It's a case or anything.
Oh, that. Oh, they didn't want to say bong. How's bong is bong? Okay.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members.
My name is Kabelo Mudumi. I'm with the department in my capacity as a deputy director responsible for strategy development, but I'm also acting director at the present moment. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members and honorable chair. I'm Vuyani Gule. I'm the assistant PLO in the ministry.
Good morning, I'm Kanita Suka. I'm in the office of the DG. I'm here on behalf of Pietra, who is on oversight with the Philly Committee.
Thanks, thanks, Chair. Thanks, honorable members. Chair, I think you're unfair because you did not give us a chance to record you. Nonetheless, I will take these remarks to the office and share with the colleagues. I was also reminded that, you know, 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago, when we were celebrating the centenary of OAC, we did a very nice program of linking the youth in the Eastern Cape with youth from other provinces. So the ones from the Eastern Cape went to other provinces, the ones from other provinces went to the Eastern Cape, and the exchange was just amazing. But we shouldn't stop there, we should continue. October is also Transport Month. So what you were saying is we could actually partner with the Transport Department and do those tours that you were talking about. So thank you very much for those pearls of wisdom. I did tell the team this morning when they were trying to get some intelligence on the committee to say that the committee is very, and they'll vouch for me, committed to supporting us and assisting us and directing us. And you've clearly demonstrated that. Thank you very much. Chair, just brief remarks on my part. We have the second iteration of the strategy, the National Tourism Sector Strategy. We're quite excited about it. It was adopted in 2017, December. So we're just at the cusp of implementing it. We have work streams that have been working quite furiously to get it off the ground. We have a lot of things we need to address, so you'll see that the strategy speaks to the what and to the how very practically. The presentation that we'll get today will not only try, because this is the first time we're bringing it to the committee, it will not only try to explain what this animal is, but we'll talk about what plans, action plans are there for us to implement. And I think most importantly is to note, and the chair did allude to this, that it's all about partnerships. There are many linkages between the work that we do as a sector, the work that we do as a department, and the need to link with other related sister departments, to link with those in the private sector, to link with communities, but most importantly to realize that the ultimate goal and mandate is to grow tourism so that our economy will benefit, will contribute to it in a way that's quite significant so that we deal with the issues of unemployment, with issues of poverty that face our country. So the strategy itself has been identified as a national priority. So it demands really that as a department we work with these partners to make sure that we make those contributions. And I've already spoken to the multiple linkages and how the strategy speaks to the what and the how. So I will just hand over then to Sa to take us more in depth into what the strategy is about, and then afterwards we'll be able to respond to any questions that the honourable members will pose to us. If there's need for us to provide detailed information, we will request them that the committee allows us to go back to the office, gather that information in a more detailed way, and then send it back to the committee. I also want to mention that it's my understanding that SAT will be coming to the committee in November. They will then be able to speak to the marketing aspects of the strategy when they do come. Thank you.
So, sir, my request will be that you bring our attention to the most critical part of the strategy. Over to you.
Thanks very much, Chair. I think quite a lot of the background work has actually been done by particularly the Chair in really highlighting the complexity of the sector, the multiple actors that are involved in making tourism happen, and the different roles that are played by various partners, really. And this is where the strategy comes in. Because what the strategy really does is that it defines how the various partners should work together for the growth of tourism. It's a growth strategy, looking at growth not just for its own sake, but growth of an inclusive kind. So you will see that when we give the details about the strategy, it really seeks to define how we as the South African tourism sector plan to actually grow tourism. So it's a sector strategy, which is quite an important point to make up front. Acting DG was just highlighting the fact that there are various partnerships that really foreground the strategy. So it's a sector strategy precisely because of the multiple players that are involved in the growth of tourism. The slides are actually quite, I'm not sure what that color is. So we will just talk, we've spoken already about the background slightly. We will talk briefly about the case for tourism, which I'm sure honorable members are quite aware of. A snapshot of the tourism value chain itself, the NTSF framework, the vision, what guides us in pursuing the strategy, the targets that have been identified in the strategy and the measurements thereof, the strategic pillars in slide 10, which I think is really... So slide one has really been covered in respect of the background. The reason why it becomes critical to pursue tourism as aggressively as possible is the fact that tourism is a growth sector. So it is always useful to actually play in a growth sector because your potential there to reap the benefits is that much higher. And it then provides us with the potential to increase our jobs, the foreign exchange that's involved there, and obviously support for some of our depressed areas where tourism has got potential can then benefit from that. Of course, the NDP talks about tourism in terms of its contribution for diversifying the economy of South Africa, but also we have seen in South Africa the benefits of tourism in previous years. I think we'll then just highlight the value chain, really just to highlight the different actors that are involved in making tourism happen. So the enabling environment is really critical for tourism because it is such a highly dependent sector. We know that the visa framework, for example, must be friendly in order for international tourism to be enabled. The transport networks and infrastructure must be at a particular level to enable the connection of tourism attractions in respect now of the domestic market. The geographic spread that you talk about can only be possible when there's proper transportation in between the various areas where tourism can then happen and tourists can then travel. There's also the product itself, which must be provided by different people. It's your accommodation product, but also your products in terms of arts and craft and all of that. So the tourism value chain then becomes a multiple player type of environment where multiple players must play their role in order for tourism to happen, but also for tourists to actually have a positive experience when they move around in the country. So the strategy itself has done quite a lot of background work in respect of analyzing the environment within which South African tourism itself takes place. If you look at the bigger document which was distributed, as far as I'm aware, to honorable members, there's quite a lot of information analyzing the policy and technological environment within which tourism is happening, looking at the trends domestically and internationally, and then coming to the South African context and seeing how that plays itself out in our current environment. We also include a section where we talk about where we were as at the drafting of the NTSS, where we were in respect of performance against the 2011 strategy, which was the first one that was developed. We then outline the vision and mission and the strategic pillars, which I will talk to later. So the vision, the important operative words there relate to the inclusive growth of tourism, the innovation and the service excellence, which are key enablers of tourism, but also our commitment as a country to responsible tourism, which we actually made as far back as 96, and we have kept now to say we will pursue tourism, but we will not pursue tourism that then undermines future generations. So tourism that we are pursuing must be responsible, is responsible tourism, or sustainable tourism, if you like. We want to increase both the direct and indirect contribution to tourism, and we are guided by those principles that are outlined there. There are targets which are identified in the strategy itself based on 2015 when the strategy was drafted, and the key criteria there are identified in terms of our targets that we identified at that time. So this is perhaps the most important slide number 10, which highlights the pillars that we've identified. So how is this tourism growth going to be pursued? What actions are going to be undertaken? And the major actions there are about obviously selling the place both internationally and locally, that your effective marketing so that your demand side can be grown. Facilitating the ease of access, this is both about coming into South Africa, but also once you are here, moving around in South Africa, so that your transport networks, your visa issues, and other related matters to ease the access to the tourism attractions that are there. The visitor experience, very important for your repeat visitation, but also for your word of mouth marketing. What experience do visitors have once they visit the country or they do tourism? What experiences do they walk away with? Is it positive? Is it negative? Your destination management, which is about the relationships that make tourism work, and your broad-based benefits, which is about making sure that tourism is indeed inclusive. So in the next couple of slides, we have outlined the different actions that are in the strategy that were identified to pursue now these pillars. I will not go too much into detail unless members wish that we do that. So it's about, amongst other things, the importance of prioritization of markets, segmenting the markets, understanding what it is that they want, so that as you are selling to them, you are selling based on what appeals to them rather than merely what you are actually offering. So that segmentation, that detailed work is important in respect of effective marketing. And we've also identified partners which are in fact working in the work stream arrangement. We've got work streams that are then pursuing this work on a more detailed basis. So if you look at the strategy, it will identify a partner, a list of partners against each action, with the lead partner being identified as well. So the partnership is then made real by those very specific work streams that are then doing the work to implement the strategy. The ease of access, starting off with the impediments that affect the ability of tourists to travel to South Africa. If you look at the recent announcements, for example, by the Department of Home Affairs related to the easing of visas for certain markets, your New Zealand, your Saudi Arabia and so on, that work arises out of efforts that we together with our partners have been doing over, you know, over time, really engaging DHA, for example, to ease the access, so that, that those impediments can then be removed. Airlift access also comes in there. We actively participate in various structures where airlift matters are being discussed but also unblocked, so that tourism inputs are then taken into account when decisions are made about, for example, air traffic rights by the Department of Transport. We work closely with them on such matters. I think the visitor experience, it's really about upgrading the experience that visitors have when they visit South Africa. It also includes cleanliness, it also includes access to Wi-Fi, which tourists have come to value quite highly in recent times, but also it's about the skills aspect, making sure that your tourism providers actually have the sufficient skills to provide that excellent service, so that people can walk away with positive experiences and therefore help promote the various destinations. It's also about the diversification and enhancement of product offerings, tourism product offerings, looking at the various markets, again segmenting the markets and looking what each market wants in terms of products, and then matching those product needs with product development, so that products are then developed to respond to the various markets which have the capacity to actually travel and spend money and therefore generate revenue for tourism. We then move to destination management, which is about the relationships that support destination competitiveness. Again, there we've identified various partners, including provincial and local government, to make sure that tourism is then pursued by all of these levels of government, but also the relationships that need to be there, public-private relationships, to actually enable tourism to flourish. the improvement of the understanding of the value of tourism falls under the destination development work that you are doing. So as the various, especially public partners, become more aware of the value of tourism, they then are encouraged to pursue tourism and to help with the enabling environment for tourism. Broad-based benefits is about the transformation of the sector within the whole value chain. Our work related to enterprise development falls under that, but also the expansion of benefits to tourism, so the benefits of tourism to rural areas, townships, and other non-typical tourism areas. We then just highlight in slide 37 the importance of relationships that support tourism. Both public and private sector relationships become critical, so that as we invest in marketing as the public sector, the private sector also does the same, but there's synergy in terms of what it is that we are marketing, so that there can be value for money, but also we can achieve scale on our efforts. Your government-to-government relationships mainly about the facilitation aspect, making sure that where tourism can be enabled by Department A, we then pursue the discussions related to that and facilitate that those particular departments understand the role that they can play, so that they can then help with the enabling environment for tourism. One of the weaknesses I think that have been identified over time is the institutional mechanisms for the implementation of tourism. In the strategy, there are mechanisms that are proposed, but we can also report that these are not just proposed. In the current arrangements which we are facilitating as a department, these mechanisms are in fact set up. We have the work streams which are working, involving provincial and some local government departments to basically facilitate the implementation of tourism on a kind of day-to-day operational level, to facilitate that structured stakeholder interaction, but also structured conversations about what it is that needs to be done by the various parties. At a local level, there is supposed to be a local tourism forum. Increasingly, municipalities are having those fora, but we are aware that not all of them are in fact functional. But we encourage local municipalities to actually establish the fora so that coordination of information at a local level can flow and people can get to understand what it is that they can do at a local level for each other, because tourism being what it is dependent on everyone doing something towards the greater good of tourism. We also have regional tourism fora which are set up. Again, it varies from region to region. Some are more effective than others. And then provincially, there are fora which are chaired by the MSCs for tourism. And then this all culminates in the MINMEC, which is chaired by the minister. I think we then move to slide 43, where we just highlight the implementation work streams, which are functional, they're definitely happening. They culminate in the National Tourism Stakeholders Forum, which is a forum, again, involving quite a lot of our public sector partners, the national departments that are relevant or have an impact on tourism, as well as various other partners, including AXA and people like that. where again the key areas that can promote the growth of tourism are surfaced, and the various partners who can play a role are then allocated tasks to actually play those particular roles, but also where there are blockages, they are then highlighted through that forum, and the interactions then assist to unblock where there are blockages. These are the targets that were projected and are reflected in the current document. And I think that brings us to the end of our presentation. Thanks very much, Chair. We will take questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to highlight one thing that's in slide 43, that the monitoring and the tracking of our success, we're reporting through our annual implementation report. The last one we did was in March 2019. I am hoping that that was shared with the committee. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Sa and Auslu Lama. Honourable members, there's the presentation of the NTSS 2016 to 2026. Any comments, Honourable Kalipa? You're welcome. You're okay. Honourable Gumbi? Sure.
Thanks very much for the presentation. Dr. Andemeyer,
thank you very much for the presentation. Just a few questions. On slide 17, objective, the facilitation of increased travel through an application of a tourist-friendly visa regime and automated passenger movement and monitoring systems. I agree, of course. Obviously, you've got to make a package that is easy for tourists to be able to come into the country. And I'm focusing, obviously, always, I know a lot on international tourists because I'm talking about money coming in from other countries into the country. And I want to know, when a tourist comes to South Africa, and it's a question that I just asked and that I realized when I was traveling myself, and they arrive, is a tourist able to get, for instance, a small thing as a SIM card? What is the process for them to be able to get a SIM card in South Africa? And so with RICA and all, is it as simple as having your passport and your address for your hotel to be able to stay there? Sorry, I don't know why I said 17, but my thoughts pattern picked it up from there when I was reading initially. It's irrelevant to page 17. On page 18, there's the airlift strategy that you talk about. To what extent is SA Tourism's engagement with AXA with regards to reducing the cost of the taxes in their airlift strategy? So how far is that discussion? Is there a coordinated plan with the intention to reduce the cost of taxes? Because the taxes are actually the bulk majority of the costs on any flight, especially in South Africa. On page 18, and maybe this is for the... On page 18, it speaks about national heritage sites, provincial parks, municipal parks. So in essence, we're talking about all the infrastructure that tourism activities happen around that necessarily attract visitors to them, and then there are spin-off effects after that. Now, Chair, we had I think Jerry emailed to us a sheet where we were going to be able to monitor and track a number of infrastructure, tourism infrastructure projects around the country to be able to assess how well are they looked after, etc. Now, my concern is that does the department itself have a list of all of them? Because I'm not so sure if the committee, and you'll excuse me if I read that email wrong, if the committee should be starting again to develop that list. Because the department itself, out of its own interest, should already have a complete list of those. In fact, we should be asking, can we have that list, and therefore we should be marking ourselves and doing oversight ourselves on the nature and how those facilities are. With regards to the tourist, the way in which when tourists come to South Africa and they use transport, now, without any data, my immediate thought pattern is that a tourist is probably using Uber or Bolt now as well, and unless they're part of a group, a travel agency has probably already arranged some kind of group transportation for them. There was one time when we had a discussion about, and I think, I don't know if it was the chairperson who raised this, about engagement even with the taxi industry with regards to why is it that tourists, and sometimes even local tourists, probably I would assume maybe local tourists in your middle class or upper working class, are not using, for instance, taxis to be able to be mobile and around. So there is clearly a trust problem with them, whether that's got to do with safety, efficiency, or whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. It's probably got to do with the social class. Has there been any engagements with that industry as to say how do we bring in more competition in that space? Because in that space you've got two big online application companies, I think, that which are fighting, and outside of that it's only through travel agencies. So I would just like to have comments on that. And then the last, one, if you can comment, otherwise I'm also happy for this one to be kind of left out, because we did say the Tourism Grading Council is coming sometime. Actually, it's fine. I'll leave that one out for the next time. That's all.
Okay, Honorable Depression.
You're welcome, Honorable Members. Honorable Carlo, Honorable Kalipa, Honorable Mieni. Yeah, that's all. We did get an indication that you're on your way. Yeah, you're welcome, Honorable Members. That's it, Freitas.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to, when the officials respond, if they could just extend to the question pertaining to the flight strategy. What I want to ask is there, I suspect the answer is no, is there an interface between tourism and SAA and similar role players when they decide what routes to take, what routes should be prioritized, and does that talk to what tourism wants to achieve, both internationally and locally? Because there are many routes internally that are more expensive than going abroad. And it becomes unaffordable for South Africans to travel through flying, and those that can afford will rather go abroad because they're paying less when they're actually paying so much more. So for example, a route to George, for example, is more expensive than a flight to London. And that doesn't make sense to me. I can't understand that it could be so loaded with taxes that it becomes that expensive. And we need to, as you said, Chair, rightly so, is that we could probably have more influence in getting South Africans to travel within our country than getting foreigners to come into our country. But when you have these shackles that don't allow South Africans to travel, it becomes very difficult to then promote another province or another city, whatever the case is. So if I'd like to hear a little bit more, and if there isn't any formal debate about this with tourism and the relevant departments, can this not be initiated? Because I believe if it is, and they're saying the answer probably will be that there's expensive routes because the demand isn't there. And the reason why the demand isn't there is because it's expensive. And if you create that demand, there'll be more flights, and so those costs will go down, and then it becomes more affordable for South Africans. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. That's really my only question. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Gumba Gumba.
Thank you, Chair. No, Chair, mine is just to find out whether there are some future plans, because I don't see the fishery here. Hence, I'm seeing future plans about the, I would call it marine travel. Marine travel, whereby you actually market a tour from Cape Town to Durban through a boat, so that they can have, those visitors can have experience of our own sea travel. And also our, you know, we have a wonderful rail travel, that's the travel mode that we can also market and expand it, which is our Blue Train. We do have it, and its routes, which are very much attractive. We have garden routes, you know, that you can actually use through the rail. We're looking at also the premier class train, which is also offering very good touring routes that you can see South Africa, the other side of South Africa. We're only talking about SAA, and I'm getting worried we are not actually getting into other traveling modes. That's why I'm raising that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Honorable members, we have just arrived. I think it will be unfair on the chair to expect you to be able to comment unless you went through the document and you already have issues to raise. Dr. Gallo, is there anything? Dr. Mien, you're okay. Dr. Kalipo is here. Okay. How look in chat? Auslulam and the team from my side, the
I need to be old.
It's Nyawza, because you have more shiny one. The new thing is of coverage again. Yes, over to you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the presentation, but I would like to ask whether the strategy as presented will address the current challenge, which is the transformation in the sector. What people want to see change. We don't want a strategy sometimes that will maintain the status quo. What we'd like to see is an all-inclusive tourism sector informed by your strategy. I'm having a question in mind that says, will a person in the village or a small town see benefit in tourism at last? My other concern, correct me if I'm wrong, is it is the target by the president of 21 billion visitors, 21 million visitors. So is it realistic? Do you see it happening? Because this is a strategy that's used by the department. Do you see that possible? I am not hearing anything about creation of sustainable jobs under your strategic pillars. I'm not saying it must, but I am wondering if it can be there. Because mostly the jobs that are there in the sector are seasonal or EPW jobs, EPWP jobs. I hear that the department sometimes tracks the implementation of the strategy quarterly. You reported the department. I'm not sure whether I'm correct in saying that, but is there a way that we can also, not waiting till the end of your report, of the department's reporting, we also get that so that we are, as a committee, we are able to see if the strategy is working. My other concern is, how does your strategy assist the challenge that is facing us? Because we are always told by municipalities that tourism is an unfunded mandate. How do we make sure that tourism can be funded in municipalities? How do you lobby for support of that commitment that will result in tourism being funded in municipalities by national treasures? In whatever you are putting in front of us, you are always talking of partners, because tourism is not a one man's or one woman's responsibility. There's also other partners that we are relying on. How do we coordinate and focus those? Is there a strategy that you can employ so that we focus and direct those partners that are also relevant? If you can answer those or have a say around those things, I can be comfortable. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Tiers. Auslulama, before Mina, I raise my issues, I just want to know whether is the strategy amendable. I see it has already been adopted by Cabinet in 2017, a year before last. Is it amendable?
I thought you had other questions to ask.
I want to know so that I don't invest incorrect. Incorrect emotional investment.
Chair, you recall that when I started the opening remarks, I said the strategy must be responsive to changes in the environment. However, we cannot be reviewing the strategy every year, have a new strategy. However, the strategy must be agile, and that's where you're able to do your tweaks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 10-year strategy that's agile.
Yeah. Okay. Then I'm covered. 10-year strategy that is agile. That's why I agree. So there's some room to amend. Just to add on what T.S. was saying,
when you go through the strategy, on my focus and my interest is on 7.5. Slide number 33. I will suggest that that 7.5, we call it a transformation in brackets, broad-based benefits. Transformation, just to support what TS was saying here. If it's take advantage of it being agile. That's the first one. The second thing that Honorable TS was raising throughout the entire strategy, unless I didn't focus too much. We don't have two ways. They are not featuring it well at all there. Small towns, which means if it's not there, it means the entire strategy for the whole country doesn't speak to small towns. And when you look at the total number of small towns in South Africa, it's far more than the big cities. The big cities are few. It's Johannesburg, Pretoria, Cape Town, Durban, Port Elizabeth. I know people of Bloemfontein like calling themselves a big city, so we'll add them. And also we have this East Londoners who like breaking that they are there. So we'll add them and make them seven, right? On between Free State, Northern Cape, no, actually all the provinces, but the ones with the highest number of small towns, it's your former Transvaal, right? Your former Transvaal, that's from Limpopo up to Gauteng, and Northwest is included there, Mpumalanga is included there. So when you bring Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Gauteng, Northwest together, that's your former Transvaal. You will have the highest number of small towns. Then you add the Eastern Cape. Then comes Northern Cape and then Western Cape. So the total number of small towns in South Africa far exceeds the cities. It's big, it's huge. So in the strategy, we are not talking about that. They are not featuring anywhere, small towns. Right? And the reality is that there's some tourism taking place in the small towns. Actually, there's one guy who also appeared at some point on National Geographic who does extreme, everything extreme, sports, weather, and so on. He wrote a book. I'll get it. He focused on the small towns, but he focused on about 13 of them. There are far more than that in South Africa. I think it's over 100. So with that, the strategy being agile, I would suggest that we open that window and put in small towns there. Small towns there. So that our tourists, both domestic and international, can know that when we market South Africa through SAT, we include the small towns. That's the first thing that is not featuring at all, that the word small town, I have not seen it. The second word that is not featuring at all is villages. The word that features is rural, right? And there's no problem, because villages plus farms gives you rural, right? But you know what is the trick there? The trick there is that when you do it on average, and you look at economic activities related to tourism in rural, you are going to find that most of your activities are in the farms and the game parks. So the game parks are swamped into farms. There are others that are standalone private game parks, but they're actually farms, and later they graduate into a private game farm. So we will not be able to distinctively focus on the villages, because inclusion of doing it in the when the word in the context of the word rural makes it to appear very skewed. But you won't see it if you don't focus on villages as independent entities. The chairperson of the committee is writing a letter to the Minister of COCTA. The letter is about us working with her and all the traditional authorities in South Africa to give us information which is not there at Stats SA. That information is on the list of names of all villages in South Africa. All of them. It's not there at Stats SA. So I went to other traditional leaders to give us a list of their villages and who is an induna there, or Khosi, or whoever is responsible. We are doing that because in every village we are going to have a village-based tourism oversight forum. Right? So we'll avail that information to the department. You are going to see a tragedy of what is happening in this country, not only in tourism, across the economy. So the word village is not featuring. I will suggest that on slide number 33, the last bullet point, in brackets, there we put villages. We can leave rural as it is. Just put in brackets villages. So when we are done with that work, because that transformation that I spoke about there shouldn't just be about black and white, right? It must be about a problem called poverty. Right? Poverty. And that problem called poverty is stubborn, is highly expressed in villages, followed by townships. I mean, there are villages in South Africa where completely people don't have water. We don't have a township where people don't have water in South Africa. There are other amenities that townships have. Townships are better than the villages. Now, our tourists will not make it to the villages because of some of those impediments. Right? So we should be able to say in the villages, there are serious problems there. Sanitation will be one of your problems. So that we can tell the Minister of we must put that department here. Of no, the one that deals with water and sanitation. Yes. So it will be your water, it will be your roads, it will be sanitation, it will be transport network. Security there is not a problem. Security is a problem in the bigger cities. So bulk of our investment in South Africa in the tourism sector is going towards security. That security is for safeguarding businesses of the status quo. Right? Now we need to fiddle with the status quo. Not destroy it, right? But it needs to be fiddled with around the transformation. So you'll find that because of security problems are going up in the country, we increase the budget, and that budget goes towards preserving our well-established component of the tourism sector. When actually, the more pronounced problem is in the villages. Now, that volcano that I was talking about earlier, which is going to erupt, if you look at the numbers of this unemployed youth, it's in the villages and townships. Right? That problem is in the villages and townships. It's not in your well-developed cities. A sprinkle of them that you find there is because of migration. Because they think if they go to the cities and stay in a flat with a friend or whatever, there might be an opportunity coming out of the big city. But the problem is the village and township. That's where the problem is. The small dorp is currently in South Africa. When you look at all of them, and I hope somebody can do that study, small dorp in South Africa didn't have informal settlements. None. It was zero. Small dorpies were surrounded by farms. But currently there are informal settlements increasing around the small dorpies. Actually, people are occupying the farms there by force. If they can know that this is municipal, provincial, or national land, they put mikukus there. Right? They are now also encroaching into private farms. The farmers are forced to move away. It's poverty that is pushing those people from villages and townships to think that from a small dorp they can extract value. So from an economic, development economics point of view, and I know here that the executive looks at it differently. Now, people who do developmental studies, which then informs our planning, They look at the growth of cities for the next 30, 40, 50 years. And they say we must prepare for that growth. They are not saying how do we stop migration. They are simply saying how we must grow the cities such that we can absorb the pressure. According to Supranomics philosophy, we must be doing the opposite. We must be developing the periphery so that those in the periphery don't go to the center. Now, people like Philip Moore, who is doing textbooks for our students in South Africa, is arguing that we must rather grow cities such that they can absorb those who are migrating, when actually the periphery must be developed to reduce migration to the center. So if we are not careful, all of us will be strengthening that status quo of always people moving from village, township, to the bigger cities, when actually we should be developing a village, township, and a small dorp so that people from the three don't migrate to the bigger cities and put pressure there on everything, which then results in crimes. In I know these are not your things. I'm just putting a context of the problem that we face. So my suggestion will be that we include villages there in brackets, right? If you want, you can say villages plus farms. When you add the two, they give you rural. Now, I'm happy you have indicated on your partners who else you are going to be working with here. We have a list of 17 departments. So as a committee, we've identified 17 departments which are supposed to be working with tourism. And what we have done now, Slulama, is we have done a wheel of a bicycle. Right? And each string there in this wheel of a bicycle represents a department. The axle of that bicycle there represents the Department of Tourism. Yeah. So tourism department is at the center, it is the axis. And then the spikes is your different departments, which means that the bicycle can't move without the axis there, which is tourism. And tourism can't move without the spikes. We hope that those who are in the executive can look at it the same way. Tourism is not one of the spikes. Never. It is the axis, right, for the bicycle to move forward. It is the axis. Now, if those spikes, each one of them do not play what we'll have identified as its actual maximum role, there's going to be a problem of wobbling of this bicycle. It forever wobble, wobble, until the rider falls down. Right? So it will move like that. Sometimes you will see it moving like this. What's wrong with this bicycle? The problem is in the spikes. Now, these spikes, according to us, are 70. They are key. It's education. Transport, sports, arts and culture, finance, small business, science and technology, communication, safety, rural and agriculture, COCTA, home affairs, public enterprise, public works, DERCO, environmental affairs, labor and, it's called labor and employment. Trade and industry, public works and infrastructure is the same thing. No? It's the same thing. Agree? Yeah. So there are 16. So we have 16 spikes. So from what the committee was saying is that we must look at each one of the spikes and say, what is the role of each one of the spikes? And you know what is the problem? Because of embedded siloism within the executive, silo mentality, the solution can be the hope that our other honorable members in the executive will cooperate, right? Because they know the importance. We are prepared to work with the department to lobby for policy-based formal relationship between tourism department and the 70. Because currently it depends on whether people have good relations among themselves in the departments or not. So there's nothing that is legally binding from a policy perspective. It's just some working kind of thing, yes. When you hear Honorable April saying that, you must know he's thinking of our philosophy. In the committee, we've got some work, some track philosophy. We believe that nothing goes on without us working and pulling together. So that's how we visualize the role of the Department of Tourism for the bicycle to move forward and for the rider to be able to move forward, right? So if these bikes here, because we need to write down each one of them, what is their role, each one of them. And then President Matamela Ramaphosa, Vukuzenzele, no, not Vukuzenzele, it's not Tumamina, there's a new one. Kauleza, right? Kauleza will have to call this department and say to them that they must realize that the 22 million will not be able to be achieved if they don't work and cooperate with tourism as the access of the bicycle wheel. So it also means that from a performance monitoring point of view, which is located in the presidency, the Department of Tourism must be interested in what that ministry does to make sure that we realize this objective, which means the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, before things go to a cabinet committee and then ultimately cabinet, tourism should have had sight and a weight on work that is being done by each one of these ones. Each one of them will have 3, 4, 5 things to do. And just to look at, have you done this, have you done that, and so on, so that when we arrive at cabinet, then we are able to see whether all of them are pulling together to make tourism a success. I like it is there on the side of partners, the column, right? So over and above having that column on partners, we must then say from a policy perspective, what enforcement mechanisms must be put in place to make sure that the last column of partners is not done on a voluntary basis, but is done on an obligatory, compulsory basis, so that tourism can succeed, because they will fail tourism if they don't do their work. It will not be because of tourism, it's not doing well. It will be because these are catalysts, right? They are catalysts. So if they don't play their role in making sure that tourism succeeds, tourism will be minimal in its achievement, very minimal. But to be maximal, they will have to play their role, and each one of them must be told what is it that you are supposed to be doing, and then is entered into their contracts by Kaules. Kaules will have to be saying, you have signed contracts as cabinet ministers, we are now putting it into your contract. The people of South Africa must know that we have inserted things into your contract now, so that when evaluation comes and assessment for ministers, it's not only on what the immediate department is supposed to be dealing with, but on how they have helped him to realize his vision of 22 million visitors by 2030. So I'm partly answering what TS was saying, to say that objective of 22 million, is it achievable? Or is it smart, right? And so now, if these things are not done, I can tell you now that it's not going to be achieved. It's not. And it's not in the control of the Department of Tourism. If the Department of Home Affairs doesn't do anything at the borders that is proper, you can forever go into seminars with them. Yeah. Forever, you can have as many seminars and meetings as you want, but it's going to impact negatively on tourism. Right? If the police don't do their job and communicate the right message on how we are dealing with the crime and so on, and I don't know why they like beating their own drums, because their success on crime must be communicated by others. Perhaps from a marketing perspective, right? Yes. Whatever they achieve there must enhance the communication strategy of the Department of Tourism through SAT. Right? So they like talking and not really saying what is the strategy from a communication point of view. What do those numbers mean when they say house robberies have increased or decreased? They are supposed to brief tourism confidentially and say confidentially these are the trends, so that quietly you develop your strategy. You know what are the trends. Then it informs your marketing communication strategy. But if they don't, then you also just like us wait for the statistics on TV. And you see police there, sitting with the Minister of Police, and we're all waiting and giving us statistics, and every political party is waiting to comment on the crime stats. And so, doesn't help. It doesn't help the department. So I'm saying you must not be afraid to get into some serious battles and win them, because they are good battles to be entertained and to be won. You will realize it was more of comments. Now I just wanted one question which you answered. Or it's agile. It's agile. Whether we can influence it. So I'm happy that because of its agility, then we can do something. Now that's where my focus is, my sister. Those two words must feature. Village, small dorpy, transformation. Yeah. Mphelela
kwanala. Okay, siyabonga che. What I will do, I will ask my colleagues to then come in, and then I have some proposals I'd like to put down to the committee. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Chair and Honourable Members, for all the feedback I think that we've received. Some of the comments we will take as comments for improving how we do our work. But I must maybe give the committee comfort by mentioning that the strategy obviously has got those five pillars which define what needs to be done. But at a workstream level, we are in fact looking at the work that needs to be done on a continuous basis. So I think in terms of the specific programs and projects, they can in fact be accommodated at the workstream level where the work is actually taking place. I had wanted to say something about the airlift strategy, but the Honourable Member has... But the airlift strategy obviously is a competence of the Department of Transport, the strategy itself. We are active participants in the development of that strategy, although at the moment the review, I think, has slowed down a bit. There is a process of reviewing the strategy. But in terms of how airlines then take decisions about which routes to fly, those are purely commercial decisions, which the framework that we participate in deals with their ability to fly different routes. But what we see happening in the market is that airlines will then decide whether to use their traffic rights. So they have rights to fly anywhere. In fact, in the domestic market, it's completely deregulated. But in terms of other airlines coming into South Africa, there are a lot of air traffic rights that are granted to different states because it's granted at a state level. But then the decision to fly itself is then a purely commercial decision that gets taken based on what's happening in the market and so on. But we can assure the committee that as tourism, we participate in the relevant structures where we do obviously seek to help them with the driving of demand for specific routes where we have an interest. So if you look at our priority, tourism priority markets, for example, we will say, for example, that we have an interest in having an airline flying between South Africa and Nigeria or more capacity between those two areas. We will then work with them to assist with the marketing and so on so that those routes can become possible for them to fly. So that's why you see from time to time there are announcements about routes being reinstated, routes being expanded and so on. That work does happen in the background. The question related to airport taxis, I think the perception, if you like, is that airport taxes are higher than the price of the ticket. But if you look closer, you'll actually find that the tax aspect of it is actually not that high. The fees, I think, that people observe when they look at their tickets, it's usually your user-based fees, which are fees and not taxes. So in terms of the South African context, AXA will charge airlines, obviously, for the use of the infrastructure at the airport and so on. But the tax component is actually not high. It is, I think, about 100 and something actually on a domestic ticket. But then there are some other charges related to the use of the infrastructure itself. But I can again confirm that we are in constant touch with AXA and on various matters, including the airlift development initiatives. We participate in all the airlift development initiatives that are coordinated through the provinces. And where there are issues that require to be raised, we can then definitely raise them. Sustainable jobs as a factor in one of the pillars. I think maybe also just to clarify that the 700 and something jobs are obviously full-time jobs, but seasonally we do see the creation of jobs from time to time. But when you speak, for example, about the importance of decreasing the seasonality of tourism itself, that's partly why we have an interest in that, because we want the jobs to be sustainable. So in areas where tourism is more seasonal, we are looking at events and such activities that really seek to sustain the tourism activity, so that if it is sustained, then obviously the jobs related to that will also be sustained. But we do take that as an input as well. The coordination of partnerships, I think, how we do that was the question. How do we coordinate the partnerships? We do it twofold. In respect of the institutional mechanisms that we highlighted in the strategy, which are more formalized structures that exist on a full-time basis, starting, for example, with the work streams and the tourism organizations at the various levels and culminating in the MINMEC. That's how the partnerships are coordinated. But also with bilateral partnership arrangements with mainly the departments of transport, departments of home affairs, and other departments, environmental affairs, and so on. where we engage on a bilateral basis on various issues, and they do in fact seek our inputs on issues that have a bearing on tourism. I think other modes of travel, marine and rail travel, I think we'll take that as an input. There are some initial attempts at the coastal and marine tourism side of tourism, still more at the initial stages, but our colleagues are in fact working on mainly marine, maybe not to a limited extent with rail, but I think we take that as an input in terms of diversifying the offering of the tourism. Perhaps I can pause for now. Gabriela, do you want to? Sorry, yeah. Transformation. Okay. I'm not certain, sir. Gabriela, sir. Gabriela, do you want to ask?
Yes, Honourable Chair, I think Ms. Ngidi has quite covered substantially all the issues raised. Other than perhaps to emphasize that some of them are indeed contained in the strategy. For example, also with the issue of product diversification, Pillar 3, 7.3, visitor experience on page 21. We also recognize the importance of focusing on developing the niche markets, obviously looking at the competitiveness of a particular destination. What we shied away from maybe in the strategy when it was being formulated was to specifically outline those, because different localities will have different strengths in certain areas. One of the things that we highlighted as an example, for example, was to focus indeed on marine and coastal tourism, but also on science tourism, to say how do we leverage on the opportunities presented by the SKA, for example, in the northern Cape.
The
fastest car has arrived. Yes, that there are good opportunities. There's the challenge.
The Bloodhound.
The Bloodhound.
Just again, maybe with regards to the issues that have been raised by the chairperson around particularly broad-based benefits or transformation and rural tourism, there is also a dedicated strategy that deals with the issues of rural tourism, but personally, without responding directly to the issues raised by the chair, that we look at rural tourism strategy as a mechanism to focus on what needs to happen, particularly in that space, as one of the mechanisms to address some of the issues that the chairperson has raised. I think those are only two.
Thanks, Cabello. Thanks, colleagues. Chair, just to try and respond to some of the issues. Some of it will be a request. Let me just go through it quickly. The structural arrangements, I think SA has addressed that quite well. Issue around, thanks Gabriela for talking about, we do have a rural tourism strategy which speaks to the issue raised by the chair around what tourism development is happening in the villages. That happens, and specifically when we talk about the homestays, we're talking about developing tourism in those small towns, in those small villages, so that you attract tourism to those areas which are otherwise neglected and have that domestic spread that we're always talking about. I would like to make a proposal or a request to the committee that the committee invites Memo Rongwa to come and talk about this
rural tourism strategy. I think that would be very helpful because they're doing a lot of work already around it. You can talk about the homestays. For example, the six-day hiking trail, you know, that's going through the villages and involving communities to engage with tourists. The other one I wanted to speak to that Chair, on your proposal regarding, you know, the 16 or 17 departments, we'll definitely bring that to the minister's attention. But as you can see, it's part of the plan in the strategy to partner with various departments. And also, Q, can you please just make sure that the committee has access to the implementation report? It does speak to the issue of transformation specifically. I'm not quite sure how the word fell off, but we've heard what the chair has said. You know, just going back to the old committee, those members, Member Krumbach has always raised the issue around the tariffs and the taxes. And actually, when you put all of them together, if I'm not mistaken, he said it could go up to maybe 25-30%, which is a lot. So if his point was, if you remove those charges, it would make it more attractive for people to travel. So, again, I'll just check with DDG Malani regarding those engagements with AXA. There's another one I wanted to propose that, I think SAT, when they come in, they can talk about this issue of product development, about also the issue of making sure that tourism is sustainable, you know, through addressing issues of seasonality, but also the packages that we can provide throughout the year. They've been doing that work in an attempt to try and meet this objective of 21 million visitors. Chair, I cannot say here in this meeting that we'll meet the target, but what I can say is that we're working towards it. On the issue of product diversification regarding marine travel, we do have our coast and marine tourism strategy, which SAR was addressing, but part of that strategy talks about developing cruise lines here in the Western Cape, but also in KZN along the coast. Again, I believe if we invite Shamila to come and address that to the committee, that would be very good on the coastal and marine tourism. I'm not sure about it. No, speak to people. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. We want to take this opportunity to thank. Honorable Gumbi.
Yes, Chairperson. Sorry, I just.
They didn't talk about the SIM card.
The SIM card. Oh. I just wanted to know about that. Maybe if I didn't concentrate, so they speak about the taxis in particular.
No, they didn't.
As well, I also missed that. Chairperson, maybe this is just now for us as a committee, because I understand the remarks around EXA, and that perhaps maybe that is not the cost, maybe there's other more user costs which are high, but I don't know, maybe at some point in time whether we must have a joint committee, because there are overlaps in terms of a number of different things, a multidisciplinary committee, but with a specific focus on tourism, because it's all got to do with the cost, and there's a string of them, and perhaps maybe even not only from Department of Home Affairs, but also with Department of Tourism, because even where you require a visa or you get a visa on arrival,
what are the costs associated to that? Because because it would be unfair for me to expect the department to explain with greater detail, although I do think that we should have greater detail in the sense that we're an interested party. So if we sit around the table, we should have an understanding so that we can propose ways around those challenges. But I would just like, at the very least, but maybe that's for us to discuss, how to see. But just on the SIM card, and yeah.
Thanks, Chair. I'm really not sure about the SIM card issue. We can actually establish how it works, because we can actually establish how it works for non locals when they come through. We don't have that information. Just maybe a small one related to the cost again, to say that when we discuss the issues related to cost, we must also just remember that there's an obligation on any entity that provides a public service to actually recover the cost of the service. So yes, we would want that cost up kept to a minimum, but the PFMA obliges whoever is providing a service. So if you are printing an ID, you must recover the cost. You know, the cost should not be so low that you're actually making a loss on all of that, and visas, and. So I think that's important. The taxes, I think the reason I struggle to actually understand what is the question. Are we looking at tourists using taxis more, your normal minibus taxis, if you can call them that? Is that the I'm sorry about that change.
Yeah, that was the question. To say most of them use Uber,
okay,
and dedicated.
In essence, I'm always looking at lowering the cost in everything.
Okay. I think there we would face the challenges of, again, we can take it as an input, but the challenges we would face would firstly relate to how taxis operate. They operate on a route-based system, so not all routes will necessarily adequately cover your tourist attractions, but also there are genuine concerns related to taxis, which even locals have. In relation to the quality of the service itself, the safety or the perception of safety of the service itself, and perhaps the lack of awareness amongst that sector as to how visitors can be treated and all of that. But I think we can take it as an input, but I just see those challenges up front.
Yes, I would like to change, not to change, but to also do my own taxes statement, not taxes. Chair, I know when I go to Lesotho, I pay 30 rands at the border gates as a traveler to Lesotho. I want to know whether are we making some impact in terms of the economy to our country through those taxes. Are you able to trace as tourism whether we are making money from our neighboring bordering countries when they come to our country to visit South Africa coming from neighboring countries? Are you able to trace whether those taxes are being paid by those tourists? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Just clarification, is the Honourable Member talking about the fees, the border entry fees,
yes,
when we come in?
Yes.
I have no answer for it, so I don't know what to do, but we can definitely look into it.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll look into it. In closing, Chair, just thanks to the committee. We've received all the inputs. It's been helpful. We've made proposals about areas which we think the department and SAT can come back to the committee to address, present, and get for the committee to get better clarification. We will definitely take it upon us to go through all the inputs. take it to the department and to the various other players that work with us, so that next time we come to the committee to do a briefing, we'll be able to give you a progress update. We really focus this time on the what, the how, and to have tangible outcomes that we're able to report to all the various structures, including the committee. Thanks again for this opportunity, and we stay open and appreciative of all the input, and we have our commitment to act on the matters that the committee has raised. We'll take them through.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lama. It's 6 years to go on the strategy.
Yeah.
So we hope that we will, on a quarterly, annual basis, be able to check that we are getting there. And we want to thank the department for its amenability to some of the issues we raise here. You can see that we are sticking to what we had said, the reciprocative oversight. Right? That's why we also make proposals. Is there someone who wants to speak? Okay. Reciprocative oversight. Our demeanor as a committee is that we are the same team, striving for the same medium to long-term strategic goals. Immediate tactics to medium term will not be the same, but the strategic long-term objective is the same, which is to create jobs for our people in the context of creating a prosperous South Africa. That's the long-term strategic objective. In our spikes there, we forgot health. If you look at Dubai now, what they've been doing in the last 3 years, Khalifa, is the development of the health tourism strategy and getting the best skills around the world and locate them in Dubai, so that whatever ailment you have, the solution is in Dubai, because they got the best. So the health tourism is very, very important. Very, very important. So I want to thank you, Councillor Lama, and your team for the engagement. And are you flying back? Everything is grounded. So we hope you don't get frustrated. Yeah. Thanks very much. Honorable members, we will now deal with our last two items. And then we are done. Our strategy was to finish at 12:30. Our objective. We are on course towards achieving that objective. It's 10 minutes to go. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Also as a whip. I'm the whip of the day. I've got too much power, TS. Whip and chairperson, that. Yes. So, honorable members, last week we agreed that you will look at the triple PR. And then you will make inputs by Friday. Over to you, the doctor.
Thank you, Chairperson. What we did, we consolidated all the inputs that were made by members at the meeting, and then we forwarded the document. We had highlighted those additions in red, and we had anticipated more inputs, but by Friday
we had not received any. So we took the document that was circulated by Jerry to members as final draft from our side. So what we'll request members to do now is if those are agreeable, then members can process them, or if there are any additional inputs that members picked up and were not forwarded to the secretariat by Friday, to, so that we can entertain them now. But the request for us is that whatever we do today, maybe let us get an adoption with amendments. So what we'll do is to effect whatever changes members can still have now, then we will then test that document with the chairperson as a final adopted document. Thanks, Chair.
Can we adopt the document with the proviso that additions, if there are any, will be forwarded to the office of the chair, and that we give the chair the right to go and now submit our strategy, the triple BR. Ntate Kahalo, followed by Malibongwe on my left here.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I must indicate that I didn't receive the document, but it is not the challenge of the Secretariat. I was having a problem with my network, but now it's okay. But I just wanted to move for the adoption of the document with an amendments, because I trust that our Secretariat, Honorable Chair, have done a good job on our behalf. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Malibongwe.
Kumakumba. Chair, I would like to second the adoption of the document of the report with its amendment. Thank you.
Any objection? No. Thank you very much. So we now adopted. Did you? No, when I said Malibongwe, I was referring to the women. Because both of you were raising their hands. So I said Malibongwe. With the minutes, last week we postponed them to today. I hope you perused them, honorable members, and can we take them as read? Agreed?
Agreed.
The last matter. Last week in the committee, there was a matter that related to some interesting development in the committee between our alternates. Alternate number one is Honorable April, alternate number two is Honorable Kambo. You will remember what happened, so I will not repeat what happened last week. So the next day, the chair then thought it would be important to interact with the two members. We met in the chair's office, and each member was given an opportunity to go through what they had thought might have been the issue there. So each member was given that opportunity, and after a very useful, productive discussion, we have agreed that the matter is settled and is closed there, and that members never intended to harm each other emotionally, to undermine each other, or to disrespect the committee. It was all in the heat of the moment. And the context were then provided. There were apologies
presented in that meeting. So I take that we will now formalize those apologies here in the form of this report that I'm giving. So both members apologized to each other and they shook hands and agreed that the matter is settled and that it will be reported here to the committee formally, that they will all in future avoid that type of an approach, not the issues. They can raise issues, but that type of an approach will be avoided in future. So I just thought I must report to the committee. Yeah. Yeah. It's not prescribed anywhere in my job description as a chair to be meeting with people, but I did it. I had to do it. Honorable Gumba Gumba, followed by TS.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I was also not very much satisfied with the manner in which our members of the Standing Committee, honorable members, actually had the handled the issues. And I'm happy if it is sorted out, because when we are here as a committee that is addressing issues of the society that we are representing, and not of our own individual differences that will actually even harm each other. So I'm happy that the apologies were actually eventually done, even though they were advised in the committee and they never happened, but later on they happened, and I'm happy about it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Chair, I also appreciate the manner in which we have tried to make an intervention. Let me add it to your responsibilities, though it's not going to happen again, but it'd be your responsibility to make sure that we behave well, Chair. Thank you very much. We also thank the members for resolving the issue in such a manner that is acceptable to the norms of the of human beings and also of Parliament. Thank you very much, Chair. We appreciate that as members. We also accept those apologies. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I did have a discussion with Honorable Krambok, and he did advise about the meeting that took place and that the agreements that over here, those apologies would be noted, and that he committed himself to that. So just two notes that he did ask, he did say that, because he unfortunately couldn't be here, let that be expressed.
No, thanks for that. I must say to the two members, Honorable April, I also appreciated the maturity which prevailed in the meeting and the reciprocative respect that you as members demonstrated, very mature and very two opinionated members of the committee, which adds vibrancy in the committee. So we appreciate the vibrancy. I think it's welcome. Honorable members. So that is the thing. That matter is now closed. The doctor, if the department, if you can just talk to them, the administration, they can't have strategies all over. Right? When you ask about the NTSS, they say another strategy is somewhere on rural. Right? And when you ask about marine, they say no, another strategy is somewhere on marine. And so there must be one strategy, right? Even if it means they must add them as an addendum, there must be one strategy instead of them saying, we will send you another strategy. And so, because we who are still living now as humanity, if we don't pay attention to this thing of our villagers. And by the way, they don't refer to themselves as rural. They refer to themselves as villagers. Pumakule village! Habani Pumakule rural! Exactly. So, actually, I could if village yam im ketem ket, not in rural yam. This village thing, we must give it attention because the demographics of South Africa says that its realities include the villages. Yeah, and townships. You will not erase townships. They were not there when South Africa they were not there. 1652, later in the 18th century, then townships started. But they are part of us now. They are a reality. So, some isolated sleeping overnight, homestay, doesn't represent the strategy. So that's what we'll discuss with the department. But we have achieved our goal. We said the meeting will be done by 1:30, so it's 1:30. Okay. But you will be brief. I'm now giving the doctor just to say one or two things about the resolutions and infrastructure projects committee tracking system. So we are adding resolutions now. The resolutions and departmental infrastructure project tracking system, which means we'll be tracking our own resolutions. All the resolutions we take as a committee, in every meeting, there'll be a permanent item there on what progress are we making on resolutions, permanently, which will be attached to our documents in our website and so on. And in future, it will be automated in that day, Gumpi. Automated, we'll automate the two. The department didn't answer you, by the way. I just left them on the infrastructure. You can see it's not there. they were not confident enough to respond to your question. But they must have the least, right? So we will then have that our own, and we'll force the AG when he does his auditing to also look at that, because they will have committed and will have committed so to audit both the resolutions and the infrastructure projects. Over to you, Ngaka, the doctor.
Those resolutions, I think we need to have time frames as to when they should have been implemented, because sometimes a thing stays on the agenda without having been concluded. So as we track them, we must also put time frames on them. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. As the support team, we try and track those resolutions that have to do with the inner workings of the committee. So there are two technical resolutions that were taken by the committee. One is on reporting on infrastructure projects and creating a dashboard that is going to enable members that at any given time they can see which projects are being implemented by the department and where and at what level of implementation and what are the inherent challenges. So just to clarify one issue that I picked up from Honorable Gumbi. It is not the tracking of the like the heritage sites throughout the country. It's the tracking of the working for tourism projects in particular. Let's take the Manyane Lodge, for example, in Northwest. So what we'll do with the department is to then load that information in the template that was circulated by Jiritu members.
So we'll then, on quarterly basis with the department chairperson, track to say, okay, this is what, you know, implementation plan you said we're going to do about this project, and this is where you are. So on quarterly basis, we'll then be updating the committee. So we tabled the template for noting by members, and if then it's agreeable through the office of the chairperson, the process will then be to send that document to the department to be populated with all the projects in all the provinces. Then we'll then, on our side, once we receive that and analyze it, that is the report that will then, on our side, be tabling to members. So that is on one resolution, Honourable Members, on tracking of infrastructure projects. Then the other one was on tracking of resolutions. So what we have done as well, so with the documentation for the meeting, of next week, Jerry will circulate another template now for the tracking of resolutions of the committee. But what we'll be concentrating there is in the minutes, like the minutes that have been adopted. So we will then be looking at what was the resolution taken and what has the department done. So we will then be on our side, be appraising members on monthly basis to say on this particular resolution this is what happened, on this part this is what happened. But between us and the PLO of the department, we will then be working through the minutes of the committee. So meaning every set of minutes that would have been adopted by the committee will then be formally sent to the department through the PLO to implement those resolutions. Then we'll then be able to track those for the committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
The vergadering is vandaag.
Thank you, Brian.